It was the end of a preordained 2-year delay. And the Pharaoh now has dreams, and he's disturbed, and he seeks interpretation, and he's getting no resolution. And he calls all the wizards, this is what they were really good at, and nobody could make any sense out of the Pharaoh's dreams. And then, in desperation, the butler says, you know, when I was in prison, I don't want to bring this up, but, you know, when I was in prison, when I behaved inappropriately, and the baker and I were there, and there was this kid, just a Hebrew, a slave, making sure that he doesn't get too far in life, because it says in the Egyptian rule books that somebody who's a slave can never rule, and he doesn't even speak our language, but he might be good just for this. This is the big favor he does Yosef, 2 years later. Because he asked him, please remember me, you know. And he says, he was able to interpret our dreams. Very nice, there's no choice over here. And so, the first reading concludes, chapter 41, verse 14, Vayishlach Parei, the Pharaoh sends forth, Vayikra es Yosef, and they call Yosef. So I suppose that first the Pharaoh sent a message, and then they actually called Yosef. And then following the calling is the technicalities. So the Torah uses the words, Vayiritzuhu, Yiritzuhu min habur. They lifted him out of the dungeon. And he uses the terminology of a bur. And Rashi explains why min habur, from a pit. We heard about Yosef in the pit. This last week he was in a pit that had snakes and scorpions. And now he's in a pit with jailbirds who forgot him. So what is up with the pit? We said, over there, mayimim, but there's no water, but there's snakes and scorpions. So Rashi says that this is min beis hasoyer. This is a dungeon of sorts. Shehu asoi kimin guma, that it was made subterraneally. That's the way they built the dungeons. Now, I found it fascinating, but when I visited the Royal Ontario Museum a number of years ago, and I was looking through the Egyptology section, I wanted to see what their prisons look like. And actually, they have a picture, or they have a model of a dungeon, and it's dug in the ground, which is pretty cool. It actually makes sense. The question is why others haven't done this. Because when you have it above ground, you have to have windows. And when you have windows, you have to have bars. And when you have bars, you have the possibility of them getting away. And you have to have moats, or you have to have walls. Here, they figured out a very simple solution. They dug them in the ground, and there were no windows. Of course, you could have dug their way out, but we don't know about that happening. And the reality is that this is how dungeons were built in ancient Egypt once upon a time. So Yosef was living in a windowless existence, deep in the ground, and they pulled him out of the pit. V'chein called bur. Shebemikra, Rashi says, I want you to know that whenever you find the word bur in the scripture, it does not necessarily mean a cistern. What it means is lashon gumahu. It means that there was something hollowed out in the ground. That's what it means. It's a hollow area, an area of a vacuum that was created, a vacancy created in the ground. It does not necessarily mean something that has water in it. Now, we could have known that from before because it says habur reik, and that was like a double redundancy, but I suppose that kind of bar would have expected to have mayim, which here it's a prison, and it's min habur. So we understand that the main mayim, ein b'mayim, kar bar. And Rashi gives us a French word, which I don't know. Okay, so now we pulled him out of the pit. Then what happens? So Rashi said, the Chumash says, going back to the words of the scripture, vayigalach. First thing that happened is you got a haircut. And then, Vayachalef Simlesov, they changed his clothes. It doesn't say he had a shower, but I presume he did. Vayav, Vayal Parei, and they brought him to the Pharaoh. So Rashi says, Vayigalach, a haircut? What's up with that? And he says, here, the Pharaoh is so nervous and concerned and worried, and he's flying off his handle, you waste time for a haircut? You rush him there with sirens. You get in there as quickly as possible. Ah, Rashi says, but you had to do the haircut. And that's for Pnei Kvod HaMalchus. That's because of the honor of royalty. You cannot show up in front of a king unkempt. So regardless of how urgent the situation is, Yosef needed to get a haircut. So let's analyze this Rashi a little more carefully. In your Biurim book, on page Reish Lamed Vav, which is the third siman, the third paragraph in Parshas Miketz, the Rebbe here begins his analysis of this Rashi and this verse with an interesting question. First, we're going to note. Let's take note of something. When you look in the Chumash, we always see that Rashi transcribes a word, and then he elucidates, and he explains. Which word does he transcribe here? So Rashi is Maitik Menakosu Brak Es Hamilo Vayigalach. He only transcribes the word Vayigalach. and he got a haircut. Literally, and he shaved. And then it says, Vayachal Leif Sim Loisav. But Rashi does not seem to be interpreting the word Vayachal Leif Sim Loisav, that he changed his clothes, because Rashi does not transcribe that word. Any words Rashi transcribes, those are the words that he's explaining. If he doesn't transcribe it, he's not explaining it. Which means to say that he's only explaining the haircut, but he's not explaining the change of clothes. And the shower that's not mentioned, which would be a given, even the Chumash doesn't even mention that. But it certainly seems from Rashi that Rashi's explanation, these three words, Mepnei Kavod HaMalchus, out of the honor of the king, out of his come before his majesty, if look like a mensch, that it only refers to the haircut. It does not refer to the change of clothes. And that is actually quite surprising. V'ochin HaMefarshim, for example, the Bartanura in his commentary on Rashi, or the Nachos Yankiv, they ask a question. They say, why is it that Rashi is Mefarish only the Mila, only the word of Giluach, that was Mepnei Kavod HaMalchus? After all, was Hachlofas HaBegodim, was the changing of clothes or putting on appropriate attire, not L'Kavod HaMalchus? Do you show up in front of the king wearing your prison uniform? So everything would have been done L'Kavod HaMalchus. Why is it that Rashi chooses only to emphasize that the haircut was done in honor of the king? So the Rebbe's answer is as follows. Hachlofas HaBegodim The changing of clothes was not only for the purpose of appearing before royalty. Because, and this is still true in today's day and age, prisoners who are in a dungeon, or even not, in a camp, they wear special uniforms. Why do they wear uniforms like that? They wear uniforms like that so they should be identifiable, easily identifiable if they escape. You go out of prison, you look like a stranger. So once upon a time, all prison clothes used to be striped. Because dark and white stripes, that sets off attention. A spotlight very easily picks up the dark and white stripes. And today in the United States, I never visited a prison in Canada, but I've visited many prisons in the United States, they wear bright orange jumpsuits. So bright orange, I guess they figured out, is even more easily recognizable than light and dark stripes. The point is that they're very, very specific. And they're very embarrassing. When people are wearing prison clothes, it's a deeply embarrassing kind of attire to have. And so, the situation is that you have a person who's wearing clothes like this, and he's taken out of prison. What's the first thing he wants to do? He wants to change his clothes. What if he's not going to see the king? Yeah, he still wants to change his clothes. It's a very sad story a number of years ago. There was a rabbi who, whatever, he did some irregularities that he shouldn't have done in Israel. I don't know, half the leadership in Israel ends up in jail. Anyway, the guy ended up in jail. Very sad. I'm not judging anybody. You know, did things he shouldn't have done. Anyway, he wanted to go to Mikveh Erev Yom Kippur. And he paid big time. Like, he had, like, visits with his family. He was ready to cancel visits with his family. Like, he really, really put himself in an uncomfortable situation. He said, I just want to go to Mikveh Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, fine. So the famous rabbi of Migdal HaEmek, Rav Grossman, of the Migdal Or institutions, he felt bad for this guy. He came to pick him up. He was somewhat a prominent rabbi. And the problem was that he was wearing prison clothes. And he was ashamed. He wasn't going to see the prime minister. He just wanted to go to mikveh. He went out of prison to the mikveh and back into prison. So Rabbi Grossman, he wears long johns, if you forgive me. So he took off his pants and he gave the guy his pants. And he's wearing, there's a picture somebody snapped, you know, today everybody snapped something, a picture. He's wearing like his long kapata, with long johns sticking out beneath. And this other poor rabbi took off his shirt. He's shirtless and tzitzis. At least he has pants on. Now, it's good he was in prison. He lost weight because we could put on Rabbi Grossman's pants. But the point was, it's just an example of how when you're not in prison, you don't want to be seen wearing those clothes. So if Rashi would say, oh, he changed his clothes. You know why he changed his clothes? He changed his clothes because he's going to see the king. Even a child would say, no. That's not why he changed his clothes. He changes clothes because he don't want to be seen wearing prison clothes. Nobody walks out of prison. And see how exact Rashi is? So just because you get out of prison for a little visit, a little furlough, whatever, you have a day or two or an hour, you want to change your clothes, but you don't want to go get a haircut. Mm-hmm. That's not the first thing you do. You want to have a haircut. You know, use a few clips. You know, you figure it out. And this is why Rashi does not say anything about a chlofa sabagadim, the changing of clothes, the new wardrobe, but he does say something about Giluach HaSairis. And the reason is because going out of prison does not necessarily necessitate a haircut. Shekein, mistaber, it's likely. Shegam be'beis ha'sayir ha'ya Yosef mistaber be'is ha'tzarech. Probably Yosef did not have a 4-year growth of hair. He probably took some kind of haircut. V'lachein, therefore Rashi is compelled to explain, so what's up with the haircut? What, there's something like a giluch miyuchad, there's some kind of special king cut. What's the special king cut? Ah, this is coming from the king. You have to look perfect. And that's with Pnei Kved HaMalchus. Now, of course, you could ask a very strong question. The Rebbe points this out in the footnote. In Meseches Mayed Katan, which in the end of page 13, the end of side 2, page 13, over there, it says, Ve'elu ben galchem b'mayed. Meseches Mayed Katan talks about Yom Tov, and talks about issues of mourning, and how they intersect or sometimes collide with Yom Tov. And it says like this, as a rule, you can't get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed are the in-between days. First day of Pesach is Yom Tov, we're outside of Israel first 2 days. The last day of Pesach, outside of Israel, last 2 days. And that middle days is called Chol HaMoed. It's called days which are kind of festive-like. And there's limitations on what we can do. So for example, we're not supposed to do laundry. And in ancient times, the people did their own weaving and their own embroidery and their own sewing. These are things we shouldn't do on Chol HaMoed. Incidentally, this is a connection to Hanukkah, because this is when the Hanukkah lamps are burning. It says that women shouldn't do work, specifically women. But what kind of work does it mean? It means the work of Rosh Chodesh or the work of Chol HaMoed. There is one opinion that says in Yerushalayim, women do any kind of work, they don't cook either. But as a rule, it means work that was unique to Chol HaMoed. What can't you do on Chol HaMoed? On Chol HaMoed, you don't do laundry. On Chol HaMoed, you don't operate the loom. So these are the kind of things that aren't going to be done. One of the things you don't do on Chol HaMoed is take a haircut. Why don't you take a haircut on Chol HaMoed? Because I'm doing it in honor of Yom Tov. And the answer that's brought down is very simple. If a person could do these things on Chol HaMoed, on the first day of Pesach or the first day of Sukkot, the person will arrive in Yom Tov unkempt, unlaundered, untaken care of, and he says to himself, I got a whole chunk of days to take care of stuff. So Chol HaMoed will not be Yom Tov time. What will it be instead? It will be take care of stuff time, what they call a honey-do day. Honey do this, honey do that. So a person will come in without a haircut, without preparing himself, and I'll get a haircut. Chol HaMoed, I'll get a haircut. I schedule everything when I have time. You know, people like, they say like in December holidays, especially Jewish people, you know, we're not celebrating anything in the end of December. You schedule stuff, you get stuff done. Some people go on vacation, some people just get stuff done. So the Rebbe asks, the Gemara says, in Meseches Mayed Katan, the end of page of Gimel, the Gemara says, Ve'elu megalchem b'mayit. Certain people are allowed to take a haircut on Yom Tov. Who are those people? So somebody who was, God forbid, sitting in mourning, who wasn't allowed to take a haircut before Yom Tov. There's no choice. And one of the people is Hayyitzim Yibesu HaSudim. If somebody goes out of prison just before Yom Tov arrives, or maybe even on Chol HaMoed, he's allowed to take a haircut. The Tosfos, in his commentary there, explains why, quote, She'ein yachal legalech k'ein l'moed, because this is a person who couldn't have taken a haircut prior to Yom Tov. So therefore, the sages didn't make a decree, don't take a haircut on Yom Tov, because he couldn't have. There's no reason to put this kind of imposition. Why? She'ein manichin legalech, because they don't allow him. You're in prison, you're not your own master of your own schedule. You don't decide when you can or can't get a haircut. Va'afilu manichin lei, and even if they do allow him permission, in your order of la'adam legalech obeis yasurim, it's not a pleasant experience. I visited prisons. It's nothing there is pleasant. You know, your life is in somebody else's hands. Every small thing, even like a haircut, you have to go and get permission, get on a waiting list. It's not a way for human beings to live. And therefore, that's why the Gemara says you're allowed to do this. But the Rebbe says brilliantly, that would probably not have applied to Yosef. Why? Because with regard to Yosef's imprisonment, we learned in the end of last week's parsha, Ein sar beis asayir royes kol mu'um biyadeh. The master of the prison, the warden of the prison, he didn't see nothing. He gave everything in the hands of Yosef. Yosef had everything but the keys to his own freedom. He trusted him implicitly. So probably, if Yosef was such a powerful guy in prison, he could arrange himself a haircut. And we know from last week's parsha that Yosef was a little bit preoccupied with his appearance. And we know specifically his mesalsal beside it, that he wanted his hair to look good. So if he wanted to have good-looking hair, and he was in prison, and the warden trusted him with everything, in all likelihood, Yosef was not one of those unkempt prisoners, but probably, in all likelihood, Yosef, even in prison, was probably put together. And if he didn't have a shower in the pit, at least he had a haircut. So the chances are that he did have a haircut. And therefore, to say Yosef came out unkempt is unlikely. And that presents the big question. So if he wasn't unkempt, the clothes of the change of clothes, self-understood. But what's up with the haircut? Ah, for this says the Rebbe. That's why Rashi says veigalach. That's a special haircut. There's a haircut for every day, and then there's the king cut when you're meeting the Pharaoh. It's a different kind of cut. And here the Rebbe says something phenomenal. The derech haremez. We sometimes can find allusions. You can read into things. He says, if you want to talk about a remez, the Bnei Kvod HaMalchus is not just the honor of Yosef appearing before royalty, but perhaps it really is alluding to Kvodo Shel Yosef Atzmai, the honor of Yosef himself. Shaharei Yitzyasim Beis HaSurim is going out of prison. Hoysa Kedei Lihiyes Melech HaMetzrayim. He went out of prison, and what did he go to? His meteoric rise from the depths of the dungeon, quite literally, to the heights of being viceroy of the most powerful country in the world. And it happened within the hour. And because of that, that's why he had to get a haircut. Not a haircut to appear before the Pharaoh, but there's a halacha that the king has to have a haircut every single day. And the Alter Rebbe actually proves his machlekes whether you're allowed to take a haircut on Friday. He says you're not supposed to cut your nails on Thursday because it starts growing on the third day after you cut them, and therefore if you cut your nails on Thursday, then automatically it will start growing on Shabbos, not covered on Shabbos. But the Alter Rebbe says get a haircut any day. What's the daya? Because the king used to get a haircut every single day. And the king godly used to get a haircut every single day. Every single day. Why? Because, as the Pasuk says, Melech biyafya techzene necha. If you're a king, look presidential. You represent the nation, you gotta look it. You gotta look the part. So therefore, it's self-understood that Yosef had to get a haircut now because he knew that he was going to be rising to become king. There's an interesting Pasuk in Kehelis in the fourth chapter, in the 14th verse, it says, "Mibeso asudim yatzalimlech." From prison, he went out to rule. Now, if you want to get technical, in Kehelis over there, it's speaking about being the baby in the womb. And then, Yatzalimlech, that the Yetzirah comes right away, and the Yetzirah doesn't come for another 13 years, but the Yetzirah's rule is there right away. Beis HaSurim, from the prison, from the womb, boom, the Yetzirah is there already. Like the Gemara says, that the Yetzirah comes, Mishaninu Latzes, from the moment that the baby starts to come out, the Yetzirah is there, and that's where we say, Agedim Etanase, the Yetzirah has a head start. That's the literal meaning, but the metaphoric meaning of this pasuk also refers to Yosef. From prison, he went straight into the throne. When it comes to clothes, however, you cannot say that Yosef changed into royal clothes. Nobody else knew he was going to be a king yet. He didn't get to wear those royal pharaohic chains of office or whatever else. Yosef lehechlov adayin is begot of the big demalchus. He didn't change that. Elo nitno leilakra achamikain. That was only given to him. The Egyptian ermin, if you will, was only given afterwards. Kishapari minia, he said, when Pharaoh actually appointed him, and then he put the chain of office around his neck, that's when he got the clothes. But the haircut would have had to have before. So this is Pnei Kvod HaMalchus, out of the honor of appearing in front of the Pharaoh, which is perfectly logical. On a deeper level, Yosef had to show up in order to prepare himself for what was about to unfold. With this, happy Hanukkah.